Om Shanti, and good morning. Today seems to be a day of departures for many, including me. I'm leaving this afternoon, so I really do feel very fortunate to have the chance to meet all of you before leaving for Chandigarh. I'm going to Chandigarh for a few days and then back to Australia. I think what I'd like to do is share a few thoughts, and then there's a microphone at the front of the stage. So if anyone would like to ask a question, then you'll be most welcome. Ours is a life of change. Would you all agree? If you don't like change, don't take up Brahman life. And I think, can you hear? Yeah. I think what makes Brahmans happiest is when I feel there's genuine change. When I feel there's been a genuine transformation in the self. And I think our part, the part of Brahmins, is to help Baba's task by changing our sanskaras. There's so many souls who cooperate in Baba's task with their wealth, with their skills, with their talents, with their abilities, with their so many different things. But ultimately, I think Baba needs we Brahmins. He needs a group of souls whose sanskaras become clean and are ready to create the foundation of a future society that's pure and clean, full of love and peace and happiness. And really, this is our cooperation with Baba. But I think in reality, many Brahmins feel there has been so much change, so much. I follow all the principles. I follow this lifestyle. I cooperate in Baba's task. I'm fully committed. But there are some fairly deep-rooted sanskaras that haven't changed. Who feels that? Who can I say? Seems like the majority of us. And I think it's lovely because as the translation kicks in, the hands come up all over. It's like a Mexican wave in Harmony Hall. But I think that, you know, really to bring that level of change, how much determination and courage do I need? And I remember in my early days, I took birth in London when there was a tiny, tiny little centre. Very few students. And I was with a friend of mine. And I can remember a few months into Brahman life, I had quite a big storm. There was a big storm in my mind. And when I look back on it, I think probably it was all around jealousy. And I think during the NC retreat, Daddy said something which really touched deeply. She said, "The seed of all obstacles is jealousy." It's a very, very deep sanskara. And she said, many souls leave Baba because of jealousy, because I can't tolerate the part of another soul or the praise of another soul or whatever it may be. And I even remember in my early days also, Daddy Prakashmani was in Melbourne on her first world tour in 1976 or seven, around that time. It was a long time ago. And I can remember Daddy gave a wonderful class, this is a long time back, but she said the two main vices in the Brahman family are jealousy and imagination. And she went into the ramifications of those two things and how often imagination, she meant, that we start to read into people's behavior and attitude things which aren't really happening. But anyway, I had, I think, this storm of jealousy. But it was a really interesting thing that while the storm goes on in the mind, there was another part of me observing that storm. You know how sometimes something's going on and yet there's a deeper thing sort of observing that. And I can remember thinking that I've come home, I've found my truth. This is where I belong. It made so much sense to me, Baba's knowledge. No matter what I have to face, I'm determined to continue. You know that feeling? It's like things come, but there was this deeper part in me that this determination kicked in. That this is my path, this is my life. Because I feel an old soul is only happiest when I'm following my truth, even if it's quite challenging, you know, at different times, which it definitely can be. And I think that if Baba's taken up this theme of determination for many years, actually. In fact, for some years, Baba's just been reminding us of some fundamental things. Sometimes I think Baba just says, children, you know it, just do it. Do you ever get that feeling? Just do it. And I can remember on the 18th of January a few years ago, Baba said, on this special day, bid farewell to your old sanskaras and greet your new sanskaras with courage and determination. And Baba was actually saying, like, he went on to say, and acknowledge, in a sense, how strong sanskaras can be. I don't remember Avyat Bapdada doing that much, but he said Baba knows how strong they can be. Baba knows that. But there's one thing that makes it possible to transform these sanskaras, to have that determination. And do you know that beautiful formula that Baba gives us, which is something like, you, I take one step of courage, and what does Baba do? He gives 1,000 steps of support or help. And Baba said, it's this which really makes it possible. And I really do feel that is something which is incredibly deep. That idea that if I really have determination and courage and I step away from my old self into new realms, then it's God's duty to support me in having the courage to explore this new territory. Because Baba knows it's not an easy thing, and Baba acknowledged how strong sanskaras can be. And my observation of myself on this journey is that I've seen different levels of determination, perhaps I could say. And one of them, perhaps the first level I've observed, is determination by force. You know that determination where you think you should do something? It's not really from your heart, but Baba said, children, conquer waste thoughts. Now, it may be from your heart, but unless I have the realization, if I'm just doing it because I think I should or I'm supposed to, in my experience, there's very little power that's experienced from that quality of determination. The second type of determination I've observed, which is determination based on realization. And you know, when you're reflecting on yourself and what you need to change, and you have that wonderful moment of insight where you see so deeply the seed of something that may be causing a problem or an issue in yourself. It's so clear that at that moment, that realization automatically releases the power of determination. And I can remember a wonderful thing that Baba once said, which really touched me. And it's like a deep aspect of the law of karma, that the moment you have a realization about yourself, you have maximum power to apply that realization. You know, the aha moment. At that moment, you have this maximum internal strength to become what you just realized. And Baba said, every second I leave that realization, I let it go, the power reduces. And so it's, I don't know whether you've ever had the thought, sometimes I've literally been meditating and I've had a realization about something I should practice. And I think, yeah, I think next week when I have time, I'm going to begin that. And guess what happens? Do you do it? Or even if you do revisit it, you've made a little note in your diary, the strength of that initial realization is just not there anymore. And this is a very deep secret, I think, that moment of self-awareness, that realization releases the power of determination to really apply that strength to my life to bring something new, to transform. But the third one is probably determination based on love. Love for Baba and love for the self. And to me, it's almost like love, one of the children of love, is this inbuilt willpower to see through what I really want to do and I really want to become. It's very much, I would say, the child of love. And perhaps what I've observed in myself is an awareness of the role my conscience plays. Because the way I often feel of my conscience is, my conscience is like a vessel of truth. You know? Who am I? I am a soul. But my truth, my values, my principles, the sort of person I am, sits in my conscience. And in my experience, whenever I step, you know, outside the boundary of that conscience, who I am, what I stand for, what I believe in, a little red light goes off to warn me I'm in dangerous territory. Do you know what I mean? It's like I'm stepping outside the boundaries of my truth. And I really feel that when I hold my truth in my conscience, it gives me the strength not to do something against my truth. My conscience warns me, be careful. You know, if something comes to pull the intellect or pull the mind, it says, be careful. It's like a warning system. And I think that gives that conscience the power of a pure conscience. An impure conscience is full of guilt. And I think nothing makes me feel weaker than when the soul just has those guilty feelings, those feelings of shame, etc. But a soul-conscious conscience holds my truth and it gives me the determination that this is who I am and I'm not going to step outside the boundaries of that truth. To me, it's a great power which comes from that power of love. It's like a contract with myself, you know? It's like I've written this contract. This is who I am. This is my truth. And I'm not going to compromise it. I can remember when I first began my Brahman life. You know, for the first few years, it's like we find Baba and I'm following Brahman life. You know, what am I doing? I'm following this life. I'm following the principles, the Brahman system, etc. But after a while, it becomes who I am, you know? It's not that I'm following something, it's who I am. After many years, I don't even have to think twice. I wake up in the morning, I'm a vegetarian, I try to have an attitude of seeing virtue. This is who I really am. And so it's like an inbuilt determination is created when my conscience adopts this truth, and it's very much a part of who I really am. But, you know, how far am I really determined? How determined am I? I remember in that Muli, which I was referring to at the beginning, where Baba was saying, you know, that say farewell to the old sanskaras and give greetings to new sanskaras. Baba was saying, be so determined, and even if you have to die, if you have to bow down, if you have to tolerate so much, never let go of determination. Is it easy? But you know, Baba, I always love it because Baba sets such a high standard. Can I ask, who met Daddy Allrounder, who was Daddy Gulzar's Lokic mother? There's a few of us. She had a little mantra, which many of us know, and I've forgotten two-thirds of it or a third of it. But it was like, she used to say, Brahman life means bow, 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 die, die, die. And what was the third one? Anyway, more of the same, I think. Learn, learn, learn. Thank you, Fee. Learn, learn, learn. And it's really, I think, it's like that, how much do I really, you know, sustain that power of determination? Because in that Muli, Baba said, there's two things that compromise determination. The first one, Baba said, was carelessness. And the carelessness that he was talking about was, it was like he was saying that this carelessness where I forget really, you know, who I am and what I'm really, you know, supposed to be doing. This sort of the carelessness and often this procrastination nature where I think, you know, yes, Baba, I will do it one day. Yes, Baba, it will happen, you know. As Baba often says, we please Baba. Where we keep putting it off, and sometimes I think I feel that just because I think I want to do something, I've done it already. You know what I mean? Just because you sort of think, well, this is the effort I want to make, I like this effort, this is great, and I write it in my book, but actually I still don't do it. I'm still planning rather than implementing and doing. But the second thing Baba mentioned was seeing others. And I think that's so true. In the Brahman family, one of the great deceptions is to excuse myself because I say, well, look at them. They're not doing that much. They're not making that much effort. So it's okay with what I'm doing. Okay, thank you. I'll try and go a little bit slower. I'll try to be determined. and that thing of seeing others, of watching others, excusing myself because others aren't really doing what they should be doing too, justifies a lot of excuses. And do you remember that whole series of Muli's Baba was talking about giving reasons, giving excuses, etc.? But what I've observed that when I have the realization I want to change and I create a determined thought, the determined thought comes in my mind, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to be challenged. As soon as I create this pure thought of determination that I'm going to bring change, automatically I will be challenged. The first challenge will be the five vices. These have been embedded in the soul, as we know, for 63 births. When I say I'm going to be pure and I'm going to be beyond the influence of these, as Baba often says, these will come to challenge me. I have this determined thought I'm going to tolerate somebody. As soon as you have the thought, what happens? Sometimes frustration, annoyance can come in the soul. And all the forms of anger, not just the gross form, you know, sometimes the gross form shooting from the mouth, the subtle form feeling irritated and annoyed. But even the refined form of anger, avoiding somebody. I remember once Baba said, the refined form of anger is not wanting to be around somebody. So I have this determined thought. I will be challenged by my old sanskaras. The first challenge will come to each and every Brahman. But to me, the second challenge is even stronger to my determined thought. And that is reacting to my own impurity. You know, when I see I have a thought of lust, a thought of attraction, a thought of anger, what happens? Sometimes I react to myself. I feel guilty. I feel guilty that I've had thoughts of attraction to somebody. I feel shame that other people can see my impurity, my weakness. Lack of self-respect can kick in. And those thoughts of self-rejection, which to me are probably the most damaging thoughts in Brahman life. You know, I'm trying to nurture this deep, loving, compassionate relationship for myself. And sometimes these very forceful thoughts come in. You're no good. You're bad. You're impure. You become pure? What a joke. You know, this sort of thinking kicks in. And to me, this really begins to dilute powerfully that original determined thought. And I often feel the five vices will come to everybody. Where we really become number wise is how I react to my own impurity. And to me, the soul with spiritual knowledge doesn't overreact to their own weakness or their own impurity. If I overreact and I start to reject myself, really all my power is lost. The determined thought is completely gone. And it's like I'm back to square one once again. And so I have that pure thought. The challenge, the first challenge of the vices. The second, my own reaction to my own impurity. And then thirdly, sometimes if I've allowed myself to react to myself, how could you have such a thought? How could a Brahman have such a thought? The third challenge to my determined thought, you know, hopelessness, disheartenment, you know, that kicks in. Oh, gosh, you know, Baba said, have a determined thought. I had my determined thought and look what's happened. And then there's this sort of this, what I sometimes call this self-sabotage, where I start to see, I knew I could never be a pure soul, you know. I know I can never reach that destination. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy starts to kick in. And when sometimes I keep seeing myself break my contract to myself of these determined thoughts, it starts to chip away at my own self-respect. And this is where, you know, I do feel that the knowledgeful soul won't overreact to myself and realizes that I will be challenged. The challenges are going to come, but keep the determined thought there. Keep the vision. Someone just said to me as I was coming here that what Baba said in the last Muli was just don't have one determined thought that this is what I need to do, and then the thoughts that follow it are just ordinary. Each thought has to sustain that original thought of determination. It's like I have a goal. I have a vision of who I can be. I set my mind in that direction. I know the challenges are going to come, but as I sustain that vision, I think I get the confidence that actually I can become that. Because really, when Baba talks about determination, from my experience, he's mainly talking about determination to transform these deep-rooted sanskaras. And one of the things which Baba says in the Moolis is that one of the laws of this life, children, storms will come. Have you ever heard Baba say, children, storms might come? Has he ever said that? Children, storms will come. And not only storms, sometimes typhoons and earthquakes come. Things that the soul never imagined. Things really that emerge within me that the soul never imagined. But there's another law, and that law is it's all a part of the process. At the beginning, when these things came up in me, I thought, oh, this is wrong, this is bad, this shouldn't happen. And yeah, sure, it's best if it doesn't. But it's actually a part of the journey. And this is why, where is the Gita set? The Gita was set in the battlefield. You know, if you know the stories of Ulysses, the great spiritual warrior, he had to face so many tests on his journey. And even as I was told a few years ago, the word which has become familiar in our vocabulary all over the world now, jihad. You know, the jihad, perhaps interpreted today as fighting the non-believer. The original idea of this was to fight the weakness within, you know, to have the determination to resolve the weakness within. The thing is that things are going to come and face the soul. And I feel with hindsight, with spiritual maturity, I sort of feel that, you know, not to overreact. When things come with great force within the self, not to overreact. Sometimes the soul thinks, it's not working anymore, maybe I should do something else. Maybe I don't belong here, you know? It can create a lot of weak thoughts inside the self. Or even I begin to worry a lot about whether I can make it, whether I really belong. Even I remember one brother telling me, you know, how afraid he became of his own sanskaras, you know? Some came with such strength, he became fearful of the force of some of these things from within himself. Because I often feel we sit in this hall, we're the old souls, and we've got our whole part, you know, sitting in our memory track. We've searched to change. We're the souls have searched to change so much. In each lifetime, I believe we could see how we wanted to be, but we didn't understand sanskaras. We didn't really understand how they formed. And so when upheaval emerged within me, when impurity came within me, negativity, all I knew what to do was to suppress it, was to push it down. And this is, in a sense, what religions have taught us to do. Not consciously, but not knowing what to do with negativity or impurity. Just push it down. It doesn't look nice if it's exposed. And so just keep pushing it down so it's not seen. And so we're old souls. And so we often carry this habit to push things down when they emerge inside myself. A group of us were discussing this a few years ago that, and then 100 years or 200 years ago, whatever it is, not very good on dates, because of this sort of suppression, that's why psychology was born. You know, psychology was born to be more honest about impurity, the dark side of the soul. And so sometimes religion suppresses, but psychology sometimes indulges, you know, I have this impurity and I just go so deep into thinking about it and analyzing it. But to me, spirituality is about transforming. having this determination, not putting energy into analyzing what's wrong, putting energy into, Baba really says, in a few seconds, see what I need to change, and then put all my energy in the determination to move into a new space. But it's a real journey, and we all know it. And that's why I feel sometimes that no matter what happens, never, ever give up. Because on the journey, sometimes the soul feels, you know, my sanskaras are so strong. Or some of the feelings of hopelessness and disheartenment that can kick in and make the soul doubt whether I can do it. And where I just don't feel the strength to make a determined thought. But in my experience, there's steps. And when we take the first step in Brahman life, and I recognize Baba, and that beautiful joy of coming home, and each one of us, I think, remembers those magic moments when, you know, I see Baba. I belong to Baba. I belong to this family. This is my truth. And I feel that experience, that realization, gives me the power of determination to instantly change. And that first step of change is habits. I get the power and the determination to change my lifestyle. Can I ask how many of us change their lifestyle within a few weeks? Can I just ask? Yeah, about half the hall. It's amazing, isn't it? That recognition gave me the determination to shift a lot of sleeping habits, you know, behavioral habits, drinking habits, whatever they were, almost overnight we let them go. And these are habits often just based from this lifetime, which I've collected from my family, from my culture, etc. And I often feel that when Brahmins take up Brahman life, we step into Brahman life, overnight my habits change. And I sometimes think, hey, this is easy. This isn't difficult. Someone was asking the other day about, you know, when we first came, when I first came, it was 1975. And there was this thing on some of the pictures that in 1976 there would be world destruction. Some BKs believe the final scenes would be in 1976. So I can remember thinking, I was 22 years old. I had 6 months to go. I thought, no problem, easy, I'll get there. The Karmateet stage won't take long. So innocent when we begin. And probably it's a good thing we're innocent in that way. But as we go further, I think as we grow up, the stage of youth is transforming my nature. I begin to observe my nature. Sometimes my nature is a bit rough, a bit coarse. And so I begin to adjust my nature to become a lot sweeter, a lot more gentle, a lot more understanding, a lot softer perhaps. And with a little bit of determination, I can do that, and that instantly has a positive effect on my relationships. As I go further, I step onto the service field. I start to interact more with the Brahman family. Inevitably, sanskaras and things will emerge in me, and they emerge in others. And I often feel this is the time when we deal with our soft sanskaras, if I can use that expression. The sanskaras that have perhaps been etched in the soul over the last few lifetimes. The sanskaras of blame, projection, of twisting the truth. Perhaps not really dishonest, but just sort of, you know, adjusting the truth to suit circumstances and situations. You know, things, intolerances, impatience. And I remember Baba, and I get the determination to shift some of these things. And so once again, I change habits. I adjust my nature. I start to change some of these soft sanskars. I'm moving along in Brahman life. And sometimes I think we get to a point which I call Brahman midlife crisis. And why I say that is that for many Brahmins, there seems to be a point, and it can be after a few years or many years, we're all different, that a lot of things I thought I had changed come back again. And sometimes they appear to come back with more force than I had before. Have you had this experience sometimes? I think because we come to Baba and the old sanskara of bhakti kicks in, where we suppress deep things. Yes, I've changed habits, I've changed nature, I've changed some soft sanskars, but some deep-rooted things have just been pushed down again. They're still sitting there. And after many years, they begin to emerge, and the soul is a little bit shocked. And self-doubt can kick in and think, you know, can I really do it? I remember one of our older sisters saying that she had been Baba's child for 6 years. And all this irritation emerged in her. You know, this is the wonder. This is where we need a lot of wisdom, I think, in this life, that the drama sometimes is such that you're moving along and scenes of drama somehow unearth some sanskaras that have been sitting dormant for a while. Because she said, suddenly she felt all this irritation, this anger. And she said, I'd never been angry even before Gyan. And then 6 months after Gyan, these things emerge. And this is where sometimes if the soul's not knowledgeful, we can become confused and start to think, well, why is this happening? But to me, it's because sometimes my reaction to these deep sanskaras, I've collected all these responses, not just in this life, but for many lives. This habit to suppress, the habit to push down, is something which I think all of us has, and it's the seed of why we feel guilty. And yet, I think Baba now wants us, you know, to be very open and be very honest. And even perhaps another reaction to these deep sanskaras is denial. I can remember at one point thinking how we old souls, I think, can become experts in self-deception and denial, you know? Not realizing, you know, because it's not nice, some of these things aren't pleasant, we've had this inbuilt mechanism to deny to myself what I'm really like. Sometimes not only the negative, but also the positive stuff too. And I think one of the beauties of this life is that Baba just wants us to be so realistic, so open. We're here to change. We're not here to project an image or project to be something, to look good. We actually have come to make a shift in these things. So the reaction to these deep things, sometimes we've tried to push them down. Sometimes we've tried to deny them to myself. And really, everyone else around me, this is not uncommon, can see what's going on, but I can't. I can't because these inbuilt mechanisms have been sitting there. And I think one of the signs of the knowledgeable soul is to see myself clearly. And that means to see my beauty as much as my weakness. If I can only see my weakness and I can't see my beauty, can I say I'm a knowledgeful soul? Do I know who I am if I can only see the negative stuff? Even, I think, another reaction is to avoid situations which trigger my old sanskaras. And I think unconsciously, we can become experts at living within comfort zones, avoiding personalities that trigger uncomfortable feelings in me. And so cleverly, I have a designer Brahman life so that I'm not going into situations that are going to confront me or challenge me. So I start to think, I'm fine, you know, I'm really quite stable. But don't ask me to do this and don't ask me to do that. And I don't want to go here and I don't want to go there because it makes me feel uncomfortable. Actually, it's healthy to feel uncomfortable because it's showing that sometimes it's pushing me to look at something which perhaps is not really resolved. So the reactions, I may suppress, I may deny, I may avoid, I may go on the front foot and blame. Now, blame is a very powerful thing. When I'm feeling vulnerable, uncomfortable, one way of dealing with things is to blame everybody else. It's quite a good strategy sometimes. And that's, you know, the strategy of the world is everyone else is the problem, I'm fine. I remember once even someone defined that as, you know, what ego is. You know, I'm fine, you're the problem, you know. That's one of the ways of describing what ego is really about. I'm okay, you're the problem. But I think, you know, all these things can come, and yet ultimately the fundamental thing of this life is that I've got to bring shift in these deep sanskaras. And I think that this is a make or break time, to be honest, for many souls. Either we feel like it's not working and maybe I should do something else, or it's a sign really in the drama that I have to go deeper, and I've used determination to change my habits. I've used determination to change nature and soft sanskars. Now I've got to get this incredible determination to shift the deep seeds of sanskaras that have often been with me all my life. And they boil down to a few things as far as I can see. Lack of self-respect, insecurity, fear, etc. These are the things that we've collected so deeply over such a long period of time. And it's like coming into this mature stage of Brahman life where I become really honest with Baba and myself. Where I sit in front of Baba and say, Baba, I am your child. I love you, Baba. I've got all these good sanskaras, but these are my weaknesses. And Baba, I really need your thousand step of cooperation to shift these things. Because sometimes my image of the soul is like an old, old tree. You know an old tree when you cut down an old tree? And some trees and rainforests and things have been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. And they often say for each year it's left a little ring, hundreds of rings. The wood on the edge of the tree is often soft. The more you go into the center of the tree, it becomes harder and harder, like a rock. It's like rock. And so on the edge is my, you know, my habits, my nature, my soft sanskaras. As you get to the middle, it's like these deep-rooted things are there. And I think this is what Baba wants us to make a plan to deal with, to make, you know, to really bring change. And this is what I really feel when he says, have determination. He says, children, have the determination. They are strong, but to shift one of these things will really be the magic that changes the whole quality of my Brahman life. And I remember someone once explaining to me the principles of time management. And in essence, that person was saying, in time management, you have three tasks to perform. Really important tasks, you know, your big tasks of life, firstly. Secondly, semi-important tasks. And thirdly, unimportant tasks. So what is human nature? What do we do when we have a big task to do? We always start with the little things. We think, listen, I'll get them out of the road and then I'll have time to do what's really important. You know, I'll ring mum and I'll do the dishes and I'll put the clothes in the washing machine. And when I've done all that stuff, have the time to do what's really important. And what happens? You never, ever get time for the big tasks because you're always doing the unimportant tasks and the middling tasks. And I think sometimes it's a little bit like sanskars. We make effort. We're all here because we've made effort. We have changed nature. We've changed soft sanskars. But there's some that are sitting there that are like thorns which are influencing each and every aspect of my life. This is the big task. And I think I can remember years and years ago coming back from Madhuban and realizing how a lack of self-respect influences everything. It influences how you feel about yourself. It influences your relationships in the Brahman family. My experience when I look through the filter of lack of self-respect, it distorts reality. I think I'm seeing things as they are, but I'm not. So I'm distorting people's responses and people's attitudes to me. I'm convinced it's reality. And I began to see, you know, and it even affects my relationship with Baba. It affects everything. And I remember thinking that really, I'm a great one for doing one thing properly, rather than thinking, oh, I've got to do many things. And I really spent a year or two focusing on self-respect. And I began to observe and make a plan. I made a plan. I thought, well, I remember thinking that a lot of us here have been to university. I'm sure many in this hall, if not most of us. And when you go to university, even at school, you study methodically. You know you have to pass, so you do a systematic approach to your study. And yet here, often, you know, we just hope. We hope that one day I'll wake up and all my old sanskaras have flown out the window. And I've become an angel, you know, and I just float around and, oh, everyone says, there's an angel, there's an angel. If only it was like that. But I do think it's like I began to observe situations or personalities that trigger sometimes feelings of lack of self-value. And rather than just submitting to that personality or that scene or that feeling, when I come in front of that person or that situation, have to face a scene of life, practice a different reaction. Practice a different response. Rather than just bowing down and saying, oh, sanskara, take me over, you're so powerful. Have the determination to apply a different reaction, a different response. So somebody that often makes you feel unworthy. You know, sometimes we're around some people that we just don't feel so good about ourselves. Practice a different feeling when I'm around them. And at first you may not be successful. Second or third time you may just see a few percent. If you keep practicing, you see 10 or 20% success. It's like you're chipping away at a deep sanskara and you're reforming a new response or a new behavior to this particular situation. And I really do feel we need a plan. Determination is like getting the strength from that love of Baba, getting the strength from the realization of what I need to do, and then putting it into a plan and keep watering the realization with that loving feelings. And in time, I get the confidence that I can shift something deep. It is possible. Because sometimes I think if we're honest deep down, I think, yes, this can change, that can change. But this particular deep sanskara, sometimes the soul really wonders whether it's possible. So I think a long-term plan. I remember one of the brothers in Australia, he told me for years about a sanskara that was creating a problem for him. And he then put this plan into action. And I can honestly say, over about 18 months, I saw his whole face change. Something shifted. There was something that completely transformed within him. And I think that Baba really wants us to develop such a quality of willpower or determination to see it through. And even when the challenges come to say, you can't do it, keep going, keep that determination, keep the structure of your life, keep the practice. Because when I was doing this plan, I would write a diary. I monitored my progress and I began to see that I was shifting something in myself. Because if something's been scored in my memory track for 63 births, it's not going to just change overnight. I think it takes time. I have to practice, and over a period of time, those thousand steps of Baba really begin to help. But to me, the first thing really is to be very honest. To be very honest and try not to pretend that it's not there. Try not to be in denial. Try not to suppress or avoid. But just, why am I here? This is the power to face. And if I look at my life, it's usually just one or two deep sanskaras which are really causing most of the obstacles. Observe what it is, start to make a plan, and start to monitor the plan over a period of time. Don't try to do too many things. Just keep to that one particular thing over a period of time. You may have heard the Madhaman brothers. When we used to come in the 80s, they often would say that if you want to shift a sanskara, then have a 40-day bhati and have 1 hour's meditation, special meditation each day to help transform that. And that's quite an interesting thing because in psychology they say to change, you know, a habit, do something 20 times and it becomes a habit. So do something new many times and it's like I develop a new habit, a new way, a new approach. And when this is really supported with yoga, I think the soul starts to get the confidence that I can really change on a deep level. And I think, to me, this is the contract Baba wants us to make with ourselves, to have such a quality of determination, you know, such a deep determination myself to live my vision. You know, I sometimes, one of the ideas I really love about the soul is that the whole part is latent in the soul. The future is sitting there, you know? The future is sitting there for me to walk into the future. And it's almost like I even think that all that part, all the sets of sanskaras are sitting in the soul. The original set, which are pure, the eternal set, which are pure, the angelic set, which are pure, the only set which are impure, my present set of sanskaras. Why do I allow them to dominate my intellect so much? It's almost like as I start to visit these other sets of sanskaras, I realize that within me, the blueprint of purity, the blueprint of perfection is sitting in my subconscious as I speak now. It's almost like knowing it's sitting there, invoking it, and stepping into it, rather than, you know, with force, just with deep realization and love, just stepping into, you know, my elevated sanskaras, my pure sanskaras. So perhaps we can have a little bit of time for some questions or comments. If anyone would like to ask anything, you're most welcome, or make a comment. There's a microphone just here. I was just remembering also the other, when Baba, a few years ago, he was talking about determination. He was saying you do have a determined thought, and you think, Baba, I have to do it. I must do it. And then he said along, you know, I will do it. You know, those determined thoughts come. And then he said along with the determined thought at the same time, there's a little bit of waste. Baba, I have to do it, but, you know, Baba, I will do it, but, Baba, I must do it, but, you know, we just leave that little thing at the end, which is like a release valve that just in case something doesn't happen, you know, we have an excuse or whatever. Yes.
Charlie, the other day you were talking about letting go and why it might be so difficult to let go, which might be said to be part of the obstacles in a determined thought. Somehow there's some part of the soul still holding on. And I'd love to hear you talk about that again or a little bit more. Mm-hmm.
I suppose, you know, sometimes I think that we have clear choices in life. You know, things happen, people behave in certain ways that perhaps I don't approve. And I can really get myself all wound up about it, you know? Internally, my sense of justice kicks in. I think it's not right. How can they be like this? Even though Baba is always telling us not to think like that. But all these feelings, and I often feel just, I've got a choice. I can really get wound up. Disturbed. It's easy to get disturbed. There's so much in this world to get disturbed by, and sometimes even in the Brahman world too. I can choose. Do I want to lose my peace? Do I want to lose my happiness? And I just think it's a form of wisdom and perhaps even a form of determination just to make that decision. Yes, I'm not going to let it get under my skin. I feel it's a really important decision to make in my life, because sometimes I think we have this false sense of justice, which is, you know, a lot of us have been like freedom fighters, you know, and any injustice we see, we have to fight. But sometimes, you know, when we understand the law of karma, all sorts of things are going to happen, sometimes even in the Brahman world. Yes, I think sometimes we have to make effort and try to correct things, but sometimes things just play themselves out. But I feel to have a sort of an attitude of letting go at that point frees the soul from so many unnecessary thoughts and feelings that can, you know, otherwise really disturb me and make me lose my stage. And I just think that's a great form of wisdom, to choose. Yeah, I choose not to buy into it. I choose not to get disturbed by it. I choose to allow you to do what you need to do and even have goodwill for that too. Because, you know, ultimately, I think a great wisdom is to accept the scenes of drama. And in fact, perhaps I was sharing with Sharona that, you know, my definition of waste thought last year or whenever was a waste thought is a lack of acceptance of the scenes of drama. That's all waste is. This drama is perfect. The drama is eternal. This is our eternal part and play. If I don't accept the actors and the personalities and the situations now, am I ever going to accept it? I can spend my life fighting the scenes of drama and the personalities of drama, and I can feel so justified in my perspective, you know? Really strong thoughts about how I think things should be, and yet the drama is the drama. And one of the things I think of soul consciousness, when I'm body conscious, I see things as a good scene of drama or a bad scene of drama. But when I'm soul conscious, there's no such thing. It's just the drama. It's the way it is. And it's like, to protect the self, I make effort for an outcome in drama, but whatever happens, I accept. Such a deep state of wisdom for contentment, and it needs so much determination, I think, not to allow the mind to buy into fighting and reacting to the scenes of drama, because it's perfect. And sometimes when you really hold that thought, sometimes determination to me is just holding a thought constantly. You sustain that thought. And if even for the rest of today, if you just, as you go about your day, just think, every scene is perfect. Whether people are sweet or not sweet, whatever's going on, it's as it should be. That acceptance is an amazing feeling. It just allows me to let go, accept the drama, and it allows a natural detachment from things too. It's not a cop-out. I need to make effort. But ultimately, once you've done that, I have to accept. I don't know. Do you agree? Such a deep thing. Because, you know, I often feel if I find it hard to accept others' parts in the drama. And for many of us, there's one or three people in my life, I find it very difficult to deal with them. Very difficult to accept the way they behave and the way they are. I feel it's because I still haven't accepted me. When I deeply accept myself, and you know, what I've seen, a lot of Brahmins develop self-respect, but still don't have an acceptance of their part in the drama, you know? It's like always looking, what's my role? Where do I belong? But when I not only have the self-respect of being a soul, but I accept my part, I learn to love my part because this is my eternal part. I feel when I really accept mine, I will accept you too. And the more I accept my part, I feel content with the way you are. And that's so much healing in relationships, an incredible amount of healing. When I just have that vision of acceptance. I think in the old days when we had personal meetings with Baba, I think often just for Baba, Baba would encourage us, but Baba's vision of acceptance. And I found it amazing that when Baba sees us, his vision doesn't fall on the past or the old sanskaras. His vision falls on the most elevated state in the soul. And he accepts that part of us. And I think when we accept that part of us, it's easy. I can accept you. And I can accept you being different. And I can accept you having different views from me and doing things in a different way from me. It's okay. It's a recipe to feel peaceful in life, I think. Otherwise, you can spend so much time fighting. Anyone here like to battle mentally? I don't think so. We've done that for such a long time. Is there anyone else who like to ask something? Might be nice to introduce yourself to. We all know Sharona, but Christian, if you want to introduce yourself and where you're from.
Om Shanti, Christian from France. obviously, if we don't succeed in this transformation, it's sometimes there is more pleasure in the old habits, or it's bringing some kind of satisfaction, pleasure, even with conflicting with others, there is some pleasure in proving that you are right. Or I think in every of the old habits, because if it was painful, then we would stop at once. So it's like one part of us know it will bring maybe pain in the long term, but there is a honey on the razor blade. Still, we will eat the honey. So somehow, how to come to be more decisive in that renunciation to this short-term pleasure? Because we see it, but still, we will go for it.
I can try and paraphrase this. I think what the point Christian was making is that, and I think he's very right, that a lot of the things, the habits which we have are very short term, but why do we have them? Because they do give me something, you know? It's not that, you know, I think we've been, you know, we do want pleasure, but we've been addicted to temporary things. Everything in this world gives that temporary high, and then we fall back into those depressed feelings, you know? It's even common knowledge today that shopping relieves depression. What are people doing today? What do they do? What do they say? They shop till you drop or something. People love shopping because at that time it's fulfilling something, if you know what I mean. All these temporary things take you up and bring you back. And that's why I think to have the long-term strategy takes a lot of courage, and it has to be long-term. Because that's where I was saying that sometimes we want a quick fix, because that short-term sanskara gives me a temporary high. I prove I'm right, and he was using that example. The way Baba's defined ego over the past few years is feeling I am right, the way I see things, my perception, my understanding is the right understanding. Sometimes there's satisfaction in me proving I'm right and you're wrong, you know? That sort of, these sort of things do give temporary temporary highs, and yet it's only very temporary. And I think that to go for the long term, to take on a deep sanskara and say, okay, I'm going to see it out. And it may be years of focus. It may be where I have this determination that I can see this is the seed of so much waste and weakness in myself. It may be a fear. It may be an insecurity. And because of that insecurity, there's a whole lot of temporary behaviors I've developed to make me feel temporarily secure, etc. But I think always this long-term thing is what Baba wants us to do, and I think it's what he means by intense effort. Intense effort, children, take one thing and keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. And even when you're challenged, even when you fail a little bit, keep at it, keep at it, keep at it, and don't let go. Because in time, with those thousand steps of Baba, the soul will see that the major part of the sanskara has been changed, has been transformed. But it's the long-term plan, it's the long-term strategy, which I think really works, and it needs courage. And it's like putting myself in that bhati to really focus. Yes, please. Unless you've got a very loud voice, if you don't mind coming down the front. And if you have a question, come down too, because we can... That's okay. That's fine.
I've actually got to stop. So, I have a statement and a question. And the statement is, my eyesight is very poor. Numerous number of people in my lifetime have passed by me. I haven't noticed. They have said hello. And then afterwards they came and said, oh, how ignorant you are. We said hello to you and you didn't realize. This is a statement and a question. Do we always have to look for feelings of irritation, sorrow, sadness, upset, anxiety, stress, to then think about, oh, what is the sanskaras? Or are there occasions when we feel happy or excited or have feeling of comfort? And then also look for sanskaras. Because usually if I feel excited and happy, I may just think, okay, it's fine. It has nothing to do with sanskaras.
I do think a positive approach is definitely the best approach. Because in a sense, that's what I was mentioning. The psychological approach is to analyze something and analyze more. And I almost, you know, it can become a permanent way of life, self-analysis. Some people just spend their life. I think Baba wants us to literally in seconds see what I need to change and then put energy into the positive aspect of that understanding. So I have the sanskara of lack of self-respect, so I put energy into the sanskara of self-respect. I have the sanskara of fear of something, so I put energy into dealing with that. So I do think it's like investing in the positive, I would say. And so, yeah, coming from a place of happiness, because I definitely feel that's Baba's way, is to invoke the positive side of the negativity, because that's Baba's approach to things, rather than dwelling on what's wrong with me. See what's wrong quickly and then apply the positive anecdote and put my energy into that. I would say that's the strategy to take. So, yes, please.
I'm Luba, I'm from Moldova, I'm first time, and I have a question. I heard a lot of good things here, from Daddy, from Didi, and I would like to practice all of them, but when I start to do something, I understand that all of them I can't get already. And my question is what is very important and what make the base in ourself? Because I understand that I will not can get all in that time all. And at what I must focus my mind that to this one to be one subject that brings more in one, and how to make the intellect deeply, because I understand that when the intellect is deeply, then you can take more than you just think. Thank you.
I think that's a really good question, because who has started their Brahman life? When I started my Brahman life, there was every day, Baba says, children, you know, practice giving respect, be pure, have self-respect, be tolerant, be patient, be this, be that. And you've got a whole shopping list. And sometimes you even get stressed thinking, which one should I do? You know, like, it's so many things to practice. And I honestly do believe I've been through that, and I came back, and I was only talking about it with a group the other day, that I really feel that everything is embodied in soul conscious practice. And to me, that is the fabric of spiritual effort. And I would say, at the level Baba is teaching us, if you think, what is a soul? The soul is the most subtle entity that exists. It's a non-physical, it's unbelievably subtle. Am I that? How far have I moved towards that? And I do feel that the lack of power in Brahman life is a lack of practice, a superficial practice of soul consciousness. I really believe that. The lack of ability to meditate well, the lack of deep relationship with Baba is because the first and main step in this life is quite superficial. We know it and we believe it, and we don't deeply practice and experience it. And to me, when I am soul conscious, really detached completely from my body, I'm in it, I'm enjoying it, I'm involved, connected, communicated, but I'm really like the soul sitting lightly on the forehead, then I think naturally I will be tolerant. Naturally I give respect. It's a natural consequence when I'm in that frame of mind. And that's why if I'm thinking, well, sometimes I can remember once having the thought, I only have so much energy for effort in a day. And if I put all the energy of effort into one thing, I actually see I'm getting somewhere. If I put it into so many different areas, I don't see progress. And then sometimes the soul feels, you know, I'm trying so hard, but I'm not getting anywhere. And that's where I think this deep focus on the practice of soul consciousness, doing experiments, use your mind as a laboratory. Experiment with thoughts and feelings to create an experience. I'm a person that notices that if I don't experience something, I get bored. And then you start to get into a habitual pattern of Brahman life. You just go along. I love Baba, I have faith in Baba, but I'm just going along. I'm not changing, I'm not becoming new. So I would definitely say that if there's one main thing that all the daddies and diddies have talked about, is this fundamental practice. And to validate that, I would say just read the Sakkamoli. There is never, ever been a Sakkamoli without Baba saying, children, practice some form of soul consciousness. So where is God's attention? And to me, this is crucial for our spiritual progress, quite frankly. If I really want to move forward, I've got to really go deep. And it's not just believing. It's not walking around believing I'm a soul. It's actually educating myself how to feel distinct from the body, how to feel non-physical. What are the feelings of eternity? These are really deep things to use in the laboratory of my mind, experiment, practice. Power, spiritual power comes when we practice these things. That's what I feel. Maybe one last question, two last questions.
Om Shanti, Sister Yogini from the Philippines. But there's one thing I could really relate to is what you had said about in trying to keep the comfort zone of our emotional status quo. I mean, you know, at least we feel nothing's rocking inside. We avoid people or scenes that trigger certain things. In trying to deal with certain people, I've always thought that I easily can accommodate their wish. And I would do so. Let's say they don't like this, they don't like that. You know, then I say, okay, fine, I can do it. What I'd like to be clear about is, am I really using the power to accommodate? Or am I just trying to please so that there's harmony, so that I don't feel get upset if they reject me or they insult me or not mind me for that matter. No? So it's that clarification. When do you use power to tolerate? You said natural tolerance a while ago. Mm-hmm. I'm asking myself, is it natural accommodation? But I find myself it's easy. Yeah, okay, if that's what bothers you, sure, I can do something else. I can behave otherwise. Thanks.
You know, I think we can tell, because if I'm pleasing people and I'm still getting upset inside, you know, I'm trying to please them, make them feel good, and yet still I'm carrying it all there, you know, inside, then I don't think that's accommodation. I think accommodation is when I accommodate behaviors, but I don't carry anything inside. If I'm accommodating them, you know, allowing them to behave in the way they want to, maybe, but I'm walking away from the scene, carrying stuff, then I'm just trying to please them. And that's sort of, I think, yet another ego sort of thing. Because I think one of the aspects of soul consciousness is this absolutely wonderful aim Baba gives us, which is at the heart of rich relationships. And that is to be deeply loving and yet deeply uninfluenced at the same time. This is why we have the Brahman family. It's to educate us. We walk into Brahman life, we're so delicate and sensitive. Every little tiny thing can affect us. Every little tiny thing. To the point that some people leave the Brahman family because they can't cope. It's their ego. And yet they don't realize it. They don't realize that it's the Brahman family that will help me become egoless in this way. And that's why I feel if I live in the heart of the Brahman family with all the variety of personalities and sanskaras, and it doesn't really influence me or affect me, I know my sanskaras have become clean, you know. And the thing I remember once Dadiji saying that, yes, it's good to accommodate. It's always good to accommodate. But when you sometimes you give respect and you love people, they come close. And so they may ask you, what do you think about me? What do you think about my behavior? So you've built a relationship with trust so close that you can share what you really feel without fearing that that person may take something personally. And I feel that I have a sort of a touchstone for myself. If anything affects me, if there's any reaction internally, even if I don't show on my face, it's my ego. It's my ego that's accepting that sorrow, that hurt, that reaction. It's something there. When I'm really soul conscious, the soul can glide through the scenes, enjoy the scenes, observe the scenes. Even I know what's right, but I don't absorb it. What's right, what's wrong, but I don't absorb. Do you remember the other year Baba said, children, right is right and wrong is wrong, but don't bring it into your feelings. To me, that was brilliant. It's like the perfect definition of the detached observer. I still see what's going on, but I don't absorb it and get on a high horse of justice and fighting against this and fighting against that. No. I observe it, and if I can do something to improve it, I will. But if I can't, I accept at the same time too. I know it's easy to say. Practice is something different, but so much of our journey is learning not to take stuff on board from others. And I would say when people say to me, how have you changed? I'd say one of the main things is that I feel less and less influenced by others. I'm still, but compared to the beginning, huge change in that. And it's freedom. It's freedom not to be going into situations and being concerned, will I get upset? Will I get affected? Will I absorb something? Now, the soul has the self-respect to, you know, move around with so many different personalities. Maybe last question.
Thank you. Neşe from Turkey. It's actually a bit related to what you were just saying about acceptance again. When I'm experimenting on acceptance, sometimes I feel I'm in a dilemma, you know, like I feel when I try to accept, I say try, because when I try to accept something, sometimes I feel I just dishonor some part of myself by trying to accept that scene or that person, because then there is no chance of improvement. You know, you cannot improve things, or you just have to wait till there is improvement. And I see this as a loss, you know, like as a really, waste. So it's at that moment, it's not easy for me to accept. So I can see what you're saying, but maybe you can add just one or two more things to that. that dishonor of that part of me, which is seeing it and just trying to observe or just trying to be detached from that scene. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know, I think always our aim is to improve things, and it's a part of our nature to want to be better, to try to improve. But sometimes it becomes a permanent pressure on myself and others. I have my expectations can never allow me peace and other people peace either. And I think it's this, everything's always a balance. Yes, of course we have to try and have high standards, make things better and improve. But sometimes we have to accept things the way they are. You know, if we keep projecting onto somebody, you have to change, you have to change. Why? It's my ego saying, I want you to please me. I want you to be a way that makes me happy. But they want to be in a certain way, or they're stuck in a certain place. If my mind is fighting that, what happens to my state of mind? It's like at some point, I have to accept. But if I'm close, like I was saying, and I can share what I would like to see happen, with love, what I feel we could make this situation or improve. But if still people don't, what do I do? I have to accept at some point. And I think it's a sign of great wisdom sometimes to accept. What about Baba? Baba comes and speaks to 25,000 of us. We're all number-wise. In front of Baba are the 8 jewels, the 108, the 16,108, the 9,000, 100,000, and maybe others. And yet Baba accepts, he knows the stage of everybody, he accepts where we're at. He encourages us, and then he lets go and says, okay, children, up to you. And we have to do that too. Because I've seen, even in my attitude, if I keep putting pressure on somebody to be what I think they should be, that relationship won't be a healthy relationship. But if you sometimes accept that person as they are, they feel that love, and then they will come close, and then often they will say, tell me, what do you really feel? You know, you build. But I really think our attitude can project so much onto people, have so many expectations that can make people feel uncomfortable.